This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There was nothing like that. It took away such a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And it's only later now that I realised that the things that I wasn't settled with in my, we'll say, growing up years that were troubling were actually prohibited in Islam.
Mm.
So the fact that it was then just taken away.
Yes.
It was, I felt quite liberating, which is strange when people view Islam as oppressive, especially with women. What was acceptable in society and community didn't really sit with what I was thinking. I was like projection of your life. You saw people at different ages.
Yeah.
And as I got older and tried to fit in and do what they were doing, it just got worse and worse. I got more unhappier. And really quite despondent with life. And I do remember thinking at the age of about 21, thinking there must be something else out there, a different way of life, but I don't know what it is. But there's something there, that like a safety net, some cosmic thing. But yes, I definitely feel protected now than what I did before.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace, blessings and mercy be upon you all. Welcome to Finding the Path. Today we are honoured with Sister Jahan that will be sharing her story and her reversion to Islam with us. Peace and blessings be upon you, sister. How are you today?
I'm good, alhamdulillah.
Fantastic, that is really great to hear.
And you?
Alhamdulillah, good, I can't complain. And I'm very grateful to be able to share this journey with you today and to be able to speak with you regarding your path to Islam.
It's a pleasure being here.
Inshallah. So let's start things off. I would like to know, prior to Islam, what is the faith that you were grown up in? And how was your belief prior to embracing this path?
I grew up Church of England, not very involved in the church up until about being 12 years old. I did go to Sunday school, which was what you did in the area, and all the kids went to the local church.
Yeah.
But since being about 12, you get interested in other things, friends, and then life just carries on, and unfortunately the church got kind of left behind.
Okay.
I'm from a small town in Yorkshire, and that's just how culture went.
Yeah.
Probably still the same, unfortunately.
And your family members, for instance, your father and your mother, were they practicing Christians? Or?
For some time, but not very much. We used to go to, you know, like Palm Sunday, Mothering Sunday, maybe Christmas on a Sunday, but not very much, not like every week we were there. And as I got older, as my brother got older, it tended to be less and less and less. I think as children, they were perhaps more motivated, but then it just tapered off then.
I'd say
after being about 12 years oldish.
Yeah, and how do you find, for instance, like the values in your house during that time? Were they still like kind of, you know, Christian bound?
I didn't do very much, you know, like kind of work on finding out like what is a very Christian morals guidance. It was just mainly stories.
Yes.
I always felt Christianity was more of story based. Parables, feeding of the 5,000, works of Jesus, which were all nice and fluffy, you know, it was all cool, nice. But it always felt that there was, that's what you did on a Sunday, and then you carried on with your life. It didn't seem to go together. It was listen to a nice story, 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and then carry on with life. It didn't carry on with anything else, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, they did teach, you know, how to be a good person, a decent person, good manners, character, which was nice. But it just seemed there was life and there was church, and I didn't feel that they came together, unfortunately. It was quite separate, which I suppose as it's gone more in like a secular way, it's inevitable that that will happen.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it is something that you can see in many people's lives.
True, definitely.
Not only just with Christianity.
Perhaps
you know,
so.
A lot of people, you know, they don't necessarily incorporate their own belief structures and systems into their lives and their daily, you know, rituals and so forth.
True. It's conscious.
Along this journey that you went on, right? How did you first encounter Islam? How were you first introduced to it?
Right. It's quite a story. There's a lot of aspects to it, so yes. I'll try and keep it concise. Makes sense. So let's have a think. As I was growing up, society, community, the things that you did along your life's pattern when you're 8 years old, 10, 12, 15, 18, and what was acceptable in society, I seem to feel very, we'll say uncomfortable about it. So say it was mainly to do around the things of, say, alcohol and how that impacted a person's life or a family life.
Yes.
I remember being very young, say not far off my son's age, wanting to go to the park and you can't go because such and such has now had too much to drink. Mm. Not that too much to drink means now that you are paralytic in my term, but you just can't operate a car. So it felt restrictive.
Mm.
Then we moved on to being a bit older and it seemed that you were expected at certain ages to be a certain thing.
Yeah.
When you went out with your friends, it was acceptable for you to be drunk and the things that happen when you get drunk, it was acceptable and it didn't really matter. Things like zina, like adultery, I would encounter a lot of, not personally, but other people's mums, dads, whatever,
yes.
kind of coming across this, but it seemed acceptable, not necessarily acceptable, I don't think that's the right word, but
it was just like normal.
It was like normal. Yeah. It was a normal. If it happened, it happened. If it didn't, it didn't.
Yeah.
And nobody seemed to try and fix it or see where there was something coming from.
Hmm.
So I'd say growing up, I would look then being 12, 15, 16, 18, 21 at people older than me and thinking, well, that's going to be my life when I get to that age.
Yes.
And I don't like it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm meaning? What was acceptable in society and community didn't really sit with what I was thinking. I was like projection of your life. You saw people at different ages.
Yeah.
And as I got older and tried to fit in and do what they were doing, it just got worse and worse. I got more unhappier and really quite despondent with life. And I do remember thinking at the age of about 21, thinking there must be something else out there, a different way of life, but I don't know what it is. Because this is now in the 90s, in a small town in Yorkshire. It's perhaps, you know, there's not a right lot going on. You don't see much of the world. There wasn't the internet, that kind of social media. So you just saw what was going on. So I thought there's got to be something else out there. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So one day in 1996, 2nd of September 1996, I got on a plane. In fact, a month before that, I packed up job. Let's rewind. Packed up job. I was an admin person, so that meant I could slip in and out of work. It was okay in them days. So I was working at a law firm, and I just thought I've had enough, so I just left. Gave in my notice, and a month later, I boarded a plane and went to Israel. And so I stayed there a few months, went to Egypt, and then after being, you know, traveling around, enjoying different people, different religions, different ways of life, I didn't find Islam there, but it was a stepping stone.
Yes.
Because then when I came back, I'd seen different people and how people were, what they did, different levels of different cultures, ways of life, religions. Yes. And I really liked this and wanted to keep doing it. So I made sure I didn't get house, boyfriend, anything. I just wanted to go traveling.
Yes.
So that's what I did for the next couple of years. I went traveling. So went to about half of the world, we'll say.
Yeah.
And carried on experiencing different people, which was nice.
Yeah.
Went to some Muslim countries, but didn't necessarily grasp the whole Islamic ethos going on for some reason. Heard the Adhan. That's lovely. That chap singing there sounds cool. But that was about it.
Yes.
You know, that was it. And I grew up not knowing anything about Islam, really. Just what you saw on media, really, and what people said. There was not much at all. I'd never really spoken to a Muslim up until being around the age of 20. So, so really, there was nothing. So you were picking up on bits, but nothing earth-shattering.
But the thing is, Fundamentally, if you think back, all the little steps, even just hearing the Adhan in the background, all these things kind of, you know, it kind of builds you up and it prepares you for something, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, quite true. It was like a foundation because I don't think you can go from...
Zero to...
That's true. Mm. You can't go from being, say, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, then next day, Muslim. I think you have to... roll with your personality. And because everybody's unique.
Exactly.
Allah knows what he's doing. He's sorting you out on dunya. He created you. So he's tweaking you.
Exactly.
To your particular... small experiences. Yes, yes. He knows what to tweak. Exactly. So he's busy tweaking. And so you finally get there or not, however it happens.
Yeah.
But that's how it was. So I went to many different countries and then I ended up in Hollywood, of all places.
Of all places.
All places. SubhanAllah. Yes. Praise and at this amazing. Point, I wanted to stay somewhere for about a year.
Yeah.
I didn't want to keep like having mini holidays, going home, coming, you know, to in and fro in. So I stayed in Los Angeles and I thought I wanted to get a job. So I was advised that Hollywood was the safest place. Mm. I mean, this... You know, that I don't know how true that was, but this is now 1998, September 98. And I stayed in a hostel on Hollywood Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And I asked if there were jobs. I was given a job by the manager. And then I was traveling with a friend. Mm. After a few weeks, she went home. And my aim was to stay there for about another 6 months and then to travel around Mexico and go home. Carry on my life. But... I started spending a lot of time with the manager there, who was Muslim.
Okay.
Now, because there wasn't any of my family with me, family friends, I could kind of, it felt like I could like be not influenced by my previous life, my Englishness and my culture.
Yeah.
It was like it was if a door was opening. Now, after a period of almost a year, I've been with this manager. I had to leave America for various reasons, immigration reasons.
Yeah.
So then he said he would come back with me. And then when we got back to the UK, we got married. We were in the UK, in my town of Yorkshire, for about a year. Then we went to London for four years, and then we came here. We've been here for 16 years, alhamdulillah.
Wow. Yeah.
But I think what it was is, because he's called Ismail, by the way, the we could call him the manager. It's like it's some far-out person. Now, at the time, I don't know if he's going to thank me for saying this, but he was reading Juma and doing Ramadan. That's what I learned there, and that's what I observed. Mm. So he wasn't doing a great deal of Islam practicing, but I think it was the difference. We'll say more the character of, say, we took away the drinking for a start. So it felt like you were extremely liberated because then you could go anywhere because alcohol wasn't dictating, oh, I'm sorry, I can't go there because I can't drive.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, now I've spent all the rent money on going out with my friends.
Mm.
So sorry, there's no money left. There was nothing like that. It took away such a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And it's only later now that I realised that the things that I wasn't settled with in my, we'll say, growing up years that were troubling were actually prohibited in Islam.
Mm.
So the fact that it was then just taken away.
Yes.
It was, I felt quite liberating, which is strange when people view Islam as oppressive, especially with women. I felt it quite liberating just through his character. And he wasn't even doing the fundamentals or the five times a day beard cult or whatever, you know, the things that a man should be, we'll say, doing. But it was just enough, that character was enough, and there was no influence of someone saying from my side, don't do that, you don't know what you're doing, you don't want to be with a Muslim, you don't know anything about them, you'll be sucked in and oppressed, you'll be terrorist, all this kind of thing. There was no, plus he wasn't with any of his family or friends, so there was nobody influencing him on that side of, oh no, don't want to be anybody like her, she might be dodgy. And so we just carried on our, and I picked up on Islam so that When we went to England, he said, would you become Muslim? I based it on, without learning any kind of education at all, the knowledge, which is quite bizarre, quite silly if you look at it. But it was based on that character. And I thought, if I spend time with someone with that character, and if my children have that character, then I think I'm onto a winner. That's just what I based it on. And then after taking the Shahada, I still didn't do anything, we'll say, Islamic. I didn't fast. I didn't wear a scarf. I just did. All I did was, and I remember when hubby said, you must learn about Islam. You know, you must learn something.
Yeah.
I said, well, I don't drink anymore and I don't eat bacon sandwiches. I'm Muslim.
Yeah.
What more do you want? You know, I thought that was it, you know.
Yeah.
That was the extent of it. So I didn't do very much. I just carried on back in England now in London. Just kind of little me carrying on, but not drinking alcohol, not eating pork. Thought I was Muslim. But then we moved here. And someone recommended that I go to Discover Islam in Lansdowne.
Okay.
And so that's where my education started, Islamic education. And it went, it was strange. It was went from doing nothing for 6 years to like turbo, we were in a Bugatti. We were on our way.
Yeah.
You know, that Islamic identity was like supercharged.
Yes. Yes.
And it just created, the more I sat in the class, the more I learned. And alhamdulillah, Allah sent me some wonderful sisters to teach me.
Yes.
And they weren't very kind of heavy, full on, like, you must be doing this, you can't do this, haram police and all that. They were just very kind, comfortable, easygoing, nurturing, loving kind of sisters. And I spent time in a knowledge situation and in a social setting, in many different settings with their family, friends. And I just built up subconsciously over a year. I think it was probably something like 2008.
Yeah.
Where if you look at me at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, it had just crept up on me. And as I said, like with Allah, it tweaked so much in a small sense of time that it was like I felt so comfortable and safe and secure that growing up in comparison when you looked back at growing up and I felt wishy-washy and with the like church and the life aspect, this felt so encompassing that such a safety net was holding you and protecting you that you felt that like society, even if society messes up, it doesn't matter anymore because there's some higher being, some cosmic thing out there that's looking after you. So you actually don't need to rely on people. And I may have been a person who relied on people too much to provide that safety. Where people fell down, Allah was always there.
Yes.
So I always think, you know, there's that safety net and He will sort out. His plan is the best.
Exactly, yes.
And that's just how we've got here today. So I would say it's not through Quran and reading necessarily Quran Sunnah, although that came with it.
Yeah.
It was more comparing and contrasting, but living a compared lifestyle from this to this. And this seemed to resonate a lot more.
Definitely.
Yes.
So after having done a bit of studies with regards to Islam and with regards to the fundamentals of belief, how was the concept of God any different to what you used to believe and what you were taught as a child at the age of 12?
Yes,
as to how you believe now?
So I would say that I did believe in God. I do remember consciously thinking there was a God. But I didn't know in what context. I didn't really think of it as a Christian label of God.
Yeah.
I thought he was there, but not. It was a wishy-washy kind of just a figurehead somewhere in the distance that didn't really apply to your life. Didn't make any difference whether you believed in him or not. It didn't make any difference if I was going to get that job, if I was going to get something to eat at lunchtime, if I was going to catch the bus or not, whether I believed in God or not. Mm. It wasn't important, I would say. Whereas now, it seems that God is with you all the time and he's helping you all the time. So it is better for you to think of God now.
Mm.
Because it almost is like a self-therapy.
Yes.
Because if you don't think of him, there's nothing to hang on to. And you just go through life with what you think and feel based on your upbringing, your situation, mm. how life impacts you and how you deal with it, which can go one way or the other. But now you've got something actually to hold on to.
Yeah.
And you can hang on to God and the whole thing, the whole package that he comes with.
Yeah. One thing I found really beautiful about Islam is that you're constantly reminded of God throughout your day. Because of following the footsteps of the Prophet.
True.
Whenever you enter a home, you're conscious of God and you're seeking his protection and his help. Before you would drink a glass of water, you know, you would invoke God and his names and attributes. And whatever you do in life, you're constantly reminded. And that reminder becomes, as you said, that comfort.
True.
That safe space, that acknowledgement that the Creator is with me. He's right here, right now.
He's like looking after you.
Exactly.
It's like you're wrapped in a fluffy blanket.
Yes.
Yes. It's Cape Town on a cold July morning. And you're wrapped in your lekka blanket.
Exactly.
That is how I would describe him. He's helping you so that you can move through your day, your week, month, year, and there's something there holding on to you, holding you as in an embrace kind of thing, in his hand, whatever concept that is.
Yes.
But there's something there, that like a safety net, some cosmic thing. But yes, I definitely feel protected now than what I did before.
Yes.
Before you were like some blinded, headless chicken moving from one day to the next. Now you're kind of, you can move gracefully, kind of calmly.
Mm.
Allah knows best and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
And you just leave it. You don't panic as much, like, you don't worry as much. Well, if we mess up, Allah knows best.
Yes.
There were a lesson somewhere. Hit me with the lesson. But, you know, Allah knows best.
If you would like to leave one more word of advice, you've given so much already, but to somebody that is, you know, seeking the path of Islam, somebody that is maybe interested in Islam, what would you tell that person? Yeah.
I would say to spend time with Muslims, read about the Prophet ﷺ's life, what he did. Sometimes it's to have a bit of both, some reading, some background, some knowledge, very simple things. And you learn about his way of life and what he did. You know, just spend time with the certain aspects, perhaps a Ramadan, try fasting, just being with people. And I think you'll get the feel, because I think you have to feel Islam in yourself rather than saying, or rather someone saying to you, do this, do that. That's not going to get you to Islam. You feeling it and having that fluffiness inside is what's going to bring you to Islam.
Yes.
Rather than the do's and the don'ts and read this and you read what you want to do, do what you want to do, and Allah will guide you. Allah will guide you there.
Yes, no, alhamdulillah.
In the end.
Dear Sister Jahan, I just want to thank you so much for joining us on this platform today and also for opening up and for sharing your story. I think that the way in which you related, you know, from where you came from, and being so driven with a secular society, not really ingrained within religion, and then, you know, going upon this journey all over the world to find Islam in Hollywood, alhamdulillah. it's amazing, you know. We need to praise the Creator for, you know, the way in which he builds us up into whom he wants us to be. So shukran so much once again, you know, for joining us. And may the Almighty Creator bless you and evermore guide all of us upon a journey.
Ameen. It's been a pleasure. Shukran.
Thank you. To the viewers, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in today. May the Almighty Creator bless you, may he guide you, and then may evermore guide us upon the path that is most pleasing to him. Jazakallah khair.